Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
I mean, what does it take to get some exciting football? We're here 11 weeks and watching all kinds of games. I can't get anything. Nothing. All I get is 95 points, third highest scoring game in NFL history. So I didn't make it on time at the end of your show with Scott, but I was playing Scott up 20.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Josh Reynolds. And I knew it wasn't looking good when he had Goff and Tyreek Hill. Going into it, I knew it wasn't looking good, hoping for sort of a miracle. And, man, did that not happen. I lost by 45. Just an onslaught of fantasy goodness last night. Todd Gurley owners are sort of shaking their head. At, you know, can we get a little bit of action here? But, I mean, he had
12 and a half PPR points.
Yeah, 12 and a half PPR points. So he doesn't get into the end zone. So, to many of the people that were playing in DFS showdown slates and were fading Gurley, that was the right move because we had a lot of other guys get in the mix. And Tyreek Hill showed why Tyreek Hill is a huge fantasy performer, and both Pat Mahomes and Jared Goff showed what's up last night. 54-51, Mahomes 478 and 6 touchdowns. The 3 picks, frankly, though, ended up being pretty costly. Goff goes 31 of 49, 413 and 4 touchdowns. An exciting game. I was annoyed. I fell asleep at one point in the third quarter, caught up on it this morning. But I left the first half saying, like, wow, this is exciting. It's 23-23. Both missed extra points. But I was irritated at the pace of play with the penalties. I think overall you just have to look at it and say it was an exciting game. And in some respects, yes, I'm irritated with the penalties. And in some respects, I was thinking about it this morning. I've been on record as saying last year's Super Bowl, while close and exciting from that standpoint, I just didn't think it was a great game because I didn't think it was well played. There was no defense. But somehow, I feel a little bit differently about this game. I'm trying not to be hypocritical, but I'm being honest about it. Maybe it's because we had points from the start in this one, and we were really hyped up for an offensive game that delivered. Perhaps the Super Bowl, we expected some points, but not an absence of defense. So I'm trying to reconcile that, how I felt that way about the Super Bowl, and not as much about it this morning. So a lot of fun last night. I don't want all the games to be like that, but you know, I'll put the ball in your court and see what your thoughts were for it.
Yeah, I see that distinction. I think the advanced perception was a big part of that, because I hear what you're saying about like the Super Bowl last year that was kind of a notch below in terms of points and back and forthness, shall we say. But I think the biggest part why is because everyone was expecting this one. We've been talking about like the over under on this one for weeks, and then it went ahead and delivered and went over it, you know. And we were laughing about the punts. Blew it. There were 7 punts in this game.
That's the amazing thing.
So that's what I'm saying. What I think is hysterical is that there are 14, you know, there was 105 points scored in this game, And yet there were still seven other drives that ended in punts, and there were seven drives that ended in turnovers. You mentioned the Mahomes three interceptions. He also lost two fumbles. Goff lost two fumbles. I thought the synergy or symmetry in this game was ridiculous. How in the first half both teams missed an extra point. How in the first half both teams suffer a kind of like sack, scoop, and score. I thought it was just clear that these teams were kind of like neck and neck, back and forth. When the Rams scored to go up like three or four with like a minute and 15 seconds left in the game, I think everybody watching it was like, oh snap, you left the Chiefs too much time. And the fact that that was like the default reaction of people was absolutely crazy. Yes. But here's what I would ask you, Blewett. Because, I mean, yeah, points were had left and right. You know,
By comparison's sake, the Super Bowl last year, 41-33, lower scoring, but only had one punt.
Yeah, interesting. You know, this one had seven punts, seven turnovers, 900 and something combined passing yards, over 1,000 total yards in this game. But here's what I was going to ask you. Does this game change your perception or outlook of any player or either team in this game? Because I would say no, it does not. This does not change my outlook on the Chiefs. This does not change my outlook on Todd Gurley. This does not change my outlook on Travis Kelce or anybody in this game. We saw, I guess, the only dud was Sammy Watkins, who only played like four or five snaps. This does not change my perception or outlook on any fantasy player or either of these teams where they belong in their conference.
I do disagree in one instance, and that's Josh Reynolds.
Okay.
I think Josh Reynolds showed that he's going to be a big part of the offense moving forward. He had more catches and yards than even Robert Woods. Robert Woods did out-target him 11-8, but I will tell you, change is maybe not the right word, but it solidifies my thoughts on what Josh Reynolds could be going forward. Now, he's not going to play in games like this for the rest of the year where he'll have perhaps as many explosive opportunities or opportunities for explosive plays. He had a 27-yard catch. He was open downfield a lot. He nearly had a second touchdown, which he just tip of his right toe landed out of bounds.
Out of bounds, yeah.
He would have had a second touchdown. But Josh Reynolds getting 8 targets last night is a huge positive. I spent a lot of fab money on him. I need him to be good going forward on a couple of teams, mainly the one where I lost Cooper Kupp. It's why I spent all of the money. So that's the only thing I would slightly disagree on. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, I had them plus 3.5 last night, so the hook helps me there.
Yeah, me too.
And I think in general, it doesn't change my perception of the teams. I think you're right. I think it's going to be very difficult for somebody to go to Arrowhead and beat them in the playoffs. So if they don't lose the rest of the way, and, you know, strange things happen, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But we'll even take a look at their schedule right now as I'm going through it just to see
Could bring them up.
I have it right here. So they're at the Raiders coming out of the bye, and then they have the Ravens at home. That'll be a tough one. Then they have to go to Seattle.
Yeah, who may have something to play for still.
That's right. So
yeah, Seattle could be at something like 7-7 going into that one.
That's
that really needs that one.
That's right. That's so they could be looking at a third loss. The other teams that you're going to be looking at, obviously, right now the only team with two losses.
New England plays Pittsburgh week 15. We know
right.
That's a
so
big one.
That'll be the New England Pittsburgh game becomes even larger because that could be for home field advantage on some level. The Pats have beaten the Chiefs, and we'll obviously continue to monitor that going forward.
I will
but
say
the Steelers,
this.
If the Steelers ran the table and the Chiefs lost, dumped one of those games, then the Steelers would be the home field advantage team.
Let me tell you something else in this vein, and I know we're kind of extrapolating out real far at this point. Blewett, the Houston Texans do not face another team over 500 the rest of the season.
Yeah. So
they play some 5-5 teams. They have Tennessee. They have Indy on their on their schedule, but they do not face another team above 500. They are 7-3 right now, one more loss than the Texans. Don't face a winning team the rest of the season.
And lest anybody think I'm being the Homer Steelers fan, I concede what is a tough road at one point. They're going to Denver, playing the Chargers at home. Then they go to Oakland. Mm-hmm. Then they host New England. Then go to New Orleans. Yeah. So the Steelers' schedule is ramping up as opposed to somebody like the Texans, who might be a little bit easier. Yeah. And we're searching for tough games for the Chiefs. So, yeah, go ahead.
Look, I'm just the Texans' schedule. They have three straight home games up next, right? Monday night against your Tennessee Titans, right? But hey, you know, they're hot right now. They're at home on Monday night, and Tennessee might have Blaine Gabbert coming to town for them, right?
So brutal.
So home for Tennessee, home for Cleveland, home for Indianapolis, who I now believe is on the ascent, but still that game is in Houston. Then they are on the road at the New York Jets, blew it. Then they're at Philly. Who knows about that one? That might be a tough one on the road at Philly. And then they finish off home for Jacksonville. And Jacksonville smells like a team to me that if they're not in it, they may mail it in week 17.
They're not
I don't
in
see
it
many
now.
More losses on the
Jacksonville's
Texans.
Done.
Well, I hear you, but do you think they're a team that's going to buck up and give their best effort on week 17?
I don't think they're giving their best effort now. Forget week
Even
17.
Even more to the point then. Like, so find me, you know, the Texans are 7-3 right now. Even if I give them that, they go to Philly and lose maybe, or your Titans get them, or that Andrew Luck might get them. Blewett, the Texans can finish 12-4 even if they lose one of these games to a non-500 or above team.
Yeah.
And that makes it very interesting as well, because you talked about the Patriots and the Steelers' schedule moving forward.
Yeah. So, yeah, Texans have a shot at 12-4. Steelers have a couple of tough ones there. Obviously, I think the Chiefs get out of there with maybe one more loss. I don't think it'll be worse than that. So I think 13-3 is the number that will get somebody home field advantage, whether it's the Steelers or the Chiefs or the Pats. I don't know what if all three finished at 13. Well, the Steelers wouldn't be 13-3. The Steelers.
Yeah, they got that tie in there.
The Steelers would be.
And they would have head-to-head, right?
I mean,
we'll see. It won't be a three-way tie because of the Steelers tie. And then, you know, Houston has lost to New England. The Chiefs have lost to New England. There's still a Steelers and Patriots game to go. So, you know, those tiebreakers are still to be figured out. But the good point is that Steelers tie would probably mean there's no ties for byes.
If the Steelers beat the Patriots and the Saints and don't win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be really irritated.
Yeah.
That would be impressive if they did that. I don't think they will do that, for the record. So I just don't think if the number is 13-3, the Steelers aren't going to get there. The best they're going to do is 12-3-1, I would think.
That's playoff positioning.
Yeah.
But for your Steelers in semifinal and championship week to be facing the Patriots and Saints, those have shootouts written all over it. Steelers got a nice playoff schedule for fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I think it's a really good point. So just to clean up the rest of the stats, I think Mahomes, I read that he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have both five turnovers and five touchdowns in the same game.
Six touchdowns, five turnovers.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
crazy.
A lot of turnovers to be had. I mean, he was desperate at the end, but
yeah,
you know, and he hasn't had a reputation for thus far this year of being loose with the football. It's something that has happened during his college career a little bit, but look, I'm not going to criticize the guy that heavily when you go for 478 and six touchdowns. I think Andy Reid handled it well. He knows they have to clean up the penalties. I think they put up a good performance in a tough road game, and that's it. 35 points in the fourth quarter, just nuts. You know, it didn't all happen late, but it did happen late. Like a lot, it happened late.
Absolutely. The 13 penalties, I think, was a problem. You know, Scotty and I last hour broke down the quote-unquote gunslinger term, you know, because this one was kind of the first time, because he had protected the ball a lot so far this season, where we saw the gunslinger, label come to pass, right? But, Blewett, if I told you going into a game that your guy is going to throw for 478 and six touchdowns and your team was going to put up 51 points, you'd sign for it right away.
Yeah, of course. Of course. In fact, I got to check.
Even if he turned the ball over five times.
Yeah, I got to check some scores. I'm in my Dynasty League. I was going against Mahomes last night, but I wonder if the interceptions kept it down. Nope, I lost. Mahomes put up 41. And Dominic Sue, he also had only put up a point. So I'm done in that league. It stinks.
That's unfortunate.
I went on a two-game losing streak and put myself at 6-5. I won't make the playoffs there. I'm just way behind in points, so I needed record to carry me through, and that will not happen. So, all right, any other guys that I need to talk about? I feel like I didn't even get to anybody yet. Kelce, 10 for 127 and a touchdown. Big game there. Kareem Hunt, 14 for 70 on the ground, but 3 for 41 in the air with a touchdown. Big game of Chris Conley. I'm sure all of you played Chris Conley last night. I mean, if you have Chris Conley and you're in the type of league where
might as well throw him in,
and you didn't play him last night, well, then just release him now. That was the only time.
Because if you have him and with Sammy Watkins as questionable and against the Rams, what other scenario are you hoping to start Conley if not this one?
Right. 7 of 74, two scores. Let's see. Yeah, Sammy Watkins just a 1 for 4. And you could tell they tried to get him that ball early. He couldn't run. I was surprised they put him out there. In fact, Joe Testor and Jason Witten both said last night, we're surprised to see him out there considering what he looked like when he was warming up. So he's got a pretty significant limp going with the foot injury, which has plagued him in the past. So cleaning up on the Rams, you mentioned the turnovers. Goff had two fumbles as well. But Brandon Cooks, 8 for 107. Josh Reynolds, 6 for 80 and a score. Robert Woods, 4 for 72 and a score. That score happened really early. Tyler Higbee, 6 for 63. Gerald Everett, how about that? Talk about touchdown vultures. You tried to call Todd Gurley a touchdown vulture the other day, and I corrected you. Gerald Everett is the touchdown vulture. 3 for 49 and two scores. If he tiptoed down the sidelines, if he gets just bumped out and that one.
Then Gurley gets one.
Gurley's going to get the money. So Todd Gurley, as you said, 12.5 fantasy points, 12 for 55 on the ground. They only ran the ball 21 times. The Chiefs ran it 20 times. It's not absurdly low, but these teams are obviously putting the ball up in the air a lot, 46 and 49 passing attempts. So Goff, 4-13 and 4 touchdowns, no picks. So would you say that Goff outplayed Mahomes? Mahomes is just more impressive, right? He's got the more athletic plays, and he can throw it a mile. Goff had the better game last night. Their quarterback rating was nearly identical, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. Like, actually, no. Mahomes' quarterback rating was 144, and Goff's was 117.
I'm looking at something different. I have a 117.6 rating for Mahomes and a 117.1 for Goff. So, like I said, nearly
identical. I've got the 117.1 for Goff. I got 144.7 for Mahomes, so that's interesting.
Could be with those picks. I don't think it could be that.
I don't know either. And that goes to an interesting point. I don't know how many leagues you're in on Yahoo, blew it, but there's a huge notification on the top of the Yahoo website right now this morning. Literally, I'm reading verbatim. It says, Yahoo Fantasy Sports is aware that league scoring may be missing stats for some scores and players. We are working to correct the issue as soon as possible. Blew it. This game had so many stats, so many points, it broke Yahoo.
Broke Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Yep. Yeah, it did. All right,
it really did. It broke Yahoo. There are points still coming in on the Yahoo website.
All right, so both these teams move to a bye now. Everybody's bummed that these teams are on a bye, obviously, but the Chiefs are coming back to play the Raiders, like we just detailed, and the Rams are going to be coming back to go to Detroit. They start off on the road at Detroit, at Chicago, play Philly at Arizona, then play the Niners in Week 17, which probably won't matter, but at the Lions, Philly, at the Cardinals, you got 3 out of 4 matchups that are pretty decent. And hopefully your team has been good enough to get that bye, because the Rams playing the Bears in Week 14 is not what you needed. So we'll come back. I had one of our listeners tweet at me a really interesting trade scenario regarding DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll talk about that coming out of the break. Any other news we need from the NFL? It's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
FST, Mike and Dane. All right, Dane. I teased it. We got a Twitter question from one of the listeners. That's a pretty interesting one. I saw it on the train on the way in, and I was going back and forth asking him questions. His name is Rancer Lopez, and he has let me see. I want to get to the heart of his question. There we go. All right, here it is. It's involving DeAndre Hopkins. And, oh, come on, image. There we go. He would give up DeAndre Hopkins. I know you're going to start by saying, no,
I
way,
don't like
don't
it.
I know.
I don't like it.
I get it. I don't like it. But
all right.
He would get back Julian Edelman and Manny Sanders and James White. Hmm. Now, your question is, who are his other running backs, Dane,
yeah,
that he
course,
needs James
exactly.
White that badly?
Well, that is my question.
He's
yes.
got Kareem Hunt. However, after that, it's Kenyon Drake, Deion Lewis, and DJ Yeldon. So nobody that you feel good about starting on a week-to-week basis. Lewis is the guy I like the best, but we've right. seen that he's had some ups and downs recently. In a game with a million points scored, he didn't do anything. And who are your wide receiver? Your next question, Dane, would be, because it's mine, who are your wide receivers behind DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
The answer, since you'll now have Julian Edelman and Manny Sanders, is Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett, Nelson Aguilar. But ostensibly, your starting wide receiving core goes from Hopkins, Diggs, and Lockett to Diggs, Edelman, Sanders.
Edelman.
And now you have
which on
James
balance is
White
better.
And Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
It is
so
now
I pulled the trigger on it.
You'd have to run hot with with Lockett or Lewis or Drake or Aguilar, like one of those guys. You just have to get hot rotating those guys in. One at running back, one at wide receiver. For this trade to not happen and work out.
Right, and this one is now.
You did mention, however, that the Texans are playing a bunch of bad teams. So I put that all in your lap. What say you?
Yeah, I say that. So I'm going to talk first in the abstract, and then apply it to this context. Is that if that's cool with you, Blewett?
I would also like before you answer in total. I would say if Josh Reynolds is out there, just pick him up and don't make this trade.
Exactly. Right. So, and that, thank you, Blewett. Absolutely. Right. I think so many times the general thing, and Blewett and I have been telling you guys about this for weeks now, you can't just look at, especially if there's like a wide receiver and a running back involved, right? You can't just look at this one for one. What you have to look at is like your entire team with the trade and your entire team without the trade.
That's right.
And usually the delta that you're getting from like your drop in wide receiver here, in this case with the D-hop, on like the, but not even just the one player. You know, it has to be like, what was your starting three before trade and what would your starting three be after trade? And what is your starting backfield, you know, before and after? So because, and as soon as you said DeAndre Hopkins, I was like, oh, don't like it. But this seems to be the rare thing where the gap between, you know, in this case, I guess, D-Hop and Diggs to the rest of his wide receivers is so great that getting the quantity of two other starting wide receivers to mitigate the dumpster fire that is his wide receiver three actually makes sense. But that's the way you have to think about it. I'm trying to tell people. I'm not trying to give them a fish. I'm trying to teach them how to fish. You have to see the entire roster on balance. And this is a case where you do, in essence, like sacrifice your stud and spread it out for two below studs, shall we say, in Edelman and whoever the other wideout, or Manny Sanders. And I think that on balance for the entire comprehensive picture of his roster is actually something that's good. But you make a point, the kind of the quickest path to that could still be just picking up a wide receiver like Josh Reynolds if it's available in this context.
Yeah.
So you got to look at it on balance.
Yeah, I think but Josh Reynolds is on a bye this week, so you have to consider that too.
But still, you also got to look about like what's your team? Are you organizing for the next 2 weeks because you need to make the playoffs or for weeks 14 and 15 because you're in the playoffs?
That I don't know. You can only go back and forth on Twitter so many times. But
right.
So, but Manny Sanders last couple of weeks, 4 for 56, 6 for 47, 4 for 57. Nothing inspiring, to be honest. No 100-yard games and no touchdowns in that span. They go up against the Steelers and at Cincinnati. Here's how Manny Sanders closes out the year. At San Francisco, home against Cleveland, at Oakland. That's as good a lineup as you're going to see for somebody going up against getting into your fantasy playoffs. That helps this thought process a little bit because he's the one guy where you're like, I don't know. And are you worried about James White with Sony Michel coming back, or has that become, like we saw earlier when Michel was healthy, both guys are valuable?
Yeah, I think both guys are going to be valuable, especially I see the Pats this week have the Jets, right? So I think they're going to be, you know, grinding it out second half. I think he'll have some touchdowns, and I think they'll be able to park the bus. I start both Sony and James White this week.
So there you go. I think Rancer, he said he was going to listen, so I'm speaking directly to him. I think
pull the trigger.
We're going to pull the trigger, and we analyzed it every which way from Sunday, so I think you can find some analysts that would say, hell no, don't do it. But I think we'll do it. And it's rare that I will give up the best player
right
in the draft.
Usually, I'm usually quality over quantity, but this is a unique
and
situation.
And kudos, by the way,
that threshold.
Kudos to two teams coming up with a fair trade. I think both teams can benefit. The other guy's team may be a little deeper. So he's trading out of his depth and trying to upgrade his team for a run to the playoffs. And like Dane detailed the Texans playoff run here for fantasy football, and they don't play any winning teams. Titans defense is pretty good, but I would you say that after Sunday? Didn't look good on Sunday. What the hell?
Yeah,
the Titans,
I mean,
by the way. What the hell, man? That's going to
be buddy.
That is the team that I sweated all last year. I shouldn't have picked them this year, and I'm sweating it again. And now I'm on the outside looking in because the bet is going to be harder to clear. Now they have to go 4-2.
Yeah. That's going to be tough for you on the Titans. Outside of your over-under,
4-2 with Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. Going on the road to Houston, a team that is hot as any other right now, 7 in a row. And like I said, they have now designs on, you know, they have designs on a bye in the AFC, which is kind of right in front of them if they were to kind of take care of business, proverbially. What I think is very interesting as we stay in the AFC playoff picture, Blewett, there are four teams right now at 5-5.
Titans.
I believe.
I picked the Titans.
Titans.
Yeah.
Really?
I
know you have to, but because you're already pot committed, I'm casting my lot with Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're the team with the arrow pointing up here.
I totally agree.
You know,
they are absolutely the team playing the best of the 5-5 teams. Tennessee, sometimes you have those games and you can wipe them off the record, bury the tape kind of game, but at the same time, we're dealing with Mariota's flare up of the same injury and that appears to have never gone away, right? Like, it may have gotten better, but it appears to have never gone away. So you also have Baltimore and Cincinnati at 5-5 and Miami at 5-5. I don't think anybody's particularly
impressed. I didn't even count Miami.
Right.
I'm trying to make a poll for Fantasy Freestyle tonight, and I'm like, all right, there are 4 5-5 teams. There's four options for this poll. I didn't even count Miami.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I think the Colts are the team that people would bet on right now. And to give you a sense of what their schedule looks like, it is they're hosting Miami, 6-5.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, I'll give them that one.
At Jacksonville, they go to 7-5 with that?
No, I'll give them a loss there because they won already the first one at Jacksonville, didn't they?
No, they haven't. No, they just beat, them last week. They beat them 29-26
Right, they beat them. So
Indy.
Right, so I'll have them splitting with Jacksonville, I'll give them a loss this time.
Okay, so that's 6-6. Then they go to Houston.
Yep.
6-7?
Correct.
All right, so you attached your thing to Andrew Luck. You got him on a two-game losing streak now.
All right, well, let's see. Keep it going.
They're playing Dallas.
Keep it going.
They play Dallas.
I got that as a win.
Okay, so they're back to 7-7.
7-7.
They play the G-men.
That's a win.
8-7, and then they go to Tennessee. That will be a tough one.
That'll be the one. I like the Colts to be
of
the
course you do, because you're negative. You're being anti-Blewett. I don't appreciate it.
I'm being anti-LaFleur, Mariota, and your bet.
Which
it's a very Blewett-centric contract right here.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is so on that front, I had a bad week this week in that contest. The Bucks lost, which is good, but the Lions won. So the Lions, like if the Lions had lost that game, I would have penciled that one in. Like I would have felt good about it. Now at 4-6, like could they get to 8-8? They could. I don't see it, but they could. 4-2 isn't playing lights out. I mean, it would mean they closed the season 5-2. I just think with the amount of injuries that they've had and the way they played on the whole, I really needed that two-pointer, though. Trust me, I wasn't the only guy in his living room rooting for that two-pointer for Cam Newton, and it was just a miserable Cam Newton throw that missed that. So, yeah. Anyway.
You're not worried about the Raiders, though, even though they got a win.
The
You're
Raiders
not worried about them.
I'm not worried about it. And then the Titans. So the Titans are the huge sweat. I think the other three, two of them I feel pretty comfortable about. I don't think the Bucks are going to rip off four wins down the stretch. I know the Raiders are already a push, so I just need them to lose one more game. So in that contest, Dane, the tiebreaker is the total that you are away from the numbers. So
gotcha.
The Raiders not winning any more games is extremely helpful because it will
got you.
The other guy's bets are going to be a little tighter
closer
to the number.
And you got him at 8.5?
Eight, I believe. I'll double check. But I
so you're hoping to gain 6 points there on your Raiders bet.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Because I'm obviously going to sweat the Titans. If the Titans
and most of them
Bucks,
are going to be like 1 or 2 points you gain.
That's right.
Or 1.5 points you gain for
that's
the
right.
most part.
Right.
So getting a big one like this for the Raiders correct would be a boon to your chances.
So that was a little bit of my strategy this year because I haven't won this contest in the past. And it was a little bit of my strategy. Let's play it to the middle, see if I can find a team that goes really south or really explodes. Right. That's why I picked the Titans. I thought they had a chance to be really good. It's not happening. And the Raiders, I thought they had a chance to be really bad, which is happening. If you pick somebody like the Pats who are over 11.5,
right.
Like, what's the best you think they were going to
do? Your margin's never going to be right.
13-3 is like the best that they can do right now. So you're not going to clear it by much. Anyway, enough about me. Let me get a read in here. And if you want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire, try DailyRoto.com for free this Thanksgiving. That's right, free advice for fantasy millionaires, free daily fantasy projections, and free access to everything you need to dominate NFL DFS this Thanksgiving. So don't be a turkey. Great read. Head on over to DailyRoto.com and enter the promo code TG18 to access your free 5-day trial. It's DailyRoto.com, promo code TG18. Honestly, getting DailyRoto.com 5 days for free, and if you listen to this show and you don't do
cash.
That, you're nuts. I'm just telling you, go in there. See what it's about. Don't be intimidated by it. Read an article or two. Go to the lineup optimizer. See what it is that we're talking about all the time, and just do it. So
I made a Thanksgiving Day parlay off of that already. I'm going to try and, have some fun, win a little bit of cash after the tryptophan.
All right. Tell me what it is after we recap our wagers on the week. So you pushed on Thursday.
I went 1-1-1. I went 1-1-1.
Amazingly,
I pushed on Thursday night.
Amazingly, you did not go over. On Philly, New Orleans.
The Philly, New Orleans over totals 55 instead of 56, and I was happy to get the hook the way I did. I got the hook in Cincinnati. I got 3.5, which gave me that W.
Just
so I lucked out
there. By the skin of your teeth. So
by the skin of my chinny chin chin.
It's a push weekend
absolutely.
For you. I obviously lost Tennessee because I was being emotional about it.
Yep.
You
hit the Giants.
I hit the Giants, and I can't believe that game didn't go over 48.
The Dallas Atlanta
22-19, that barely crested 40, so I lose that one. Scott, nice job by him. He goes 0-3 and loses his survivor pick. So
yeah, I mean, if you look at the records on column A, Blewett, you and I, are kind of toiling in, at 50% or just over 50%,
right.
where you're kind of supposed to be.
Right.
Professional handicappers, Blewett. Are aiming for 55 to 60%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just a quick plug for my Patreon, my Stats Overbeat Cipher on those picks that I'm giving out. I'm 24-20 right now, so I'm 4 units up on those. But Scotty, unfortunately, is 13 under .500.
He's
you
not
could
a
be,
gambler, Dave. He's a fantasy Hall of Famer. He's not a gambler. He can't go.
It's true, but if you just faded the king the entire season,
yeah.
You'd have so much cash.
You would.
If you just faded the king.
You would. You'd be 23-10. It'd be unbelievable. So, nobody hits at that rate. It's in fact, know, it's hard to believe that you miss at that rate. It's
that
hard
would
to
be like
that.
Drew Brees' completion percentage.
Yeah. So
you know, in the 70s.
Yeah.
But so, you and me, I think, are going to be tight for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I'll turn it up a notch. I'll stop being emotional about it, and I'll try and beat you now. Ooh. So I'm not saying I haven't been trying to win these games, but.
Oh, so now it matters?
Yeah.
You're absolutely. Like the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. Now it counts.
That's right. That's right. we'll okay, talk cool. about James Paxton in the third segment. But
yeah, buddy.
So the G-Men, I got them on Survivor Pick. You guys picked the lowly Cardinals. And yeah. So there
we
go.
Got bounced.
So I've lost four Survivor picks.
You and I are both
7-4
on those.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I know. I mean, they're there for you, for your viewing pleasure. Yeah. I have maintained this sheet in an honest fashion. But yeah, I think you and I are going to have a race to the finish. You want to put a maybe we should put a shot and a beer on it. Hey, Blewett?
Let's do that. All right. We're doing it. I don't think
fair enough.
We'll throw Scott in there if he wants to, but I mean, if
he wants to,
he's only down 7 picks. I mean, it's not terrible, but
yeah, there's only 5 weeks left to play. Though.
But you know, when you get to get to week 12 and you're 10-23, I don't like your chances of making picks the rest of the way. I mean, it's got to get better, but it's not going to get that much better. So.
That's like thinking Fitzpatrick is going to go, you know, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions the rest of the way.
Yeah. So we'll do some waiver wire stuff after the break because we're hitting a break cool. here pretty soon. But the only other team I guess we should talk about, you know, the Alex Smith injuries obviously created a lot of buzz. And Colt McCoy and getting into, you know, getting to the Thanksgiving games. I'm going to be live on air with Jim Day and Scott Engel will do the morning show with me 8-10 on Thanksgiving Day, and then my man Greg Sussman will join me along with Gabe Morency from 10-12. We'll get out of there a little bit early, get home to our families, enjoy some turkey, and enjoy you watching the football. So I'll miss the beginning of that Dallas game. Is Dallas the kickoff game or the Bears the kickoff game?
No, it's Detroit, Chicago.
So there you go. So
is the 12:30 game. But you guys have a great view of the end of the Thanksgiving Day parade off the balcony over there at Versa.
Well, you could call it a great view, Dane, or you could also call it an absolute cluster of me trying to get to the station to get home for the holiday. So, yeah, good times.
Both true.
Can't wait to walk through Santa's sleigh on my way back to the train.
Police guardrails up to just cross the street and get to work.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm just trying to get home, guys. Excuse me, everyone. All right, we'll come back. We'll close it out and go over some waiver pickups after this. It's Mike and Dane.
Sounds good.
Be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back. Segment number 3 with Mike and Dane on FSB. After we close up here at 9 o'clock in about the next 15 minutes, it's going to be the morning after with Gabe Morency, Corey Parson, and Michelle Serpico. Fantasy BFFs with Greg Sussman and Frank Stanfield. They're at noon. They go for an hour before Fantasy Football Frenzy is on air with Corey Parson, Chris Ventura, and Jim Day. You can catch Fantasy BFFs and Fantasy Football Frenzy on YouTube Live as well. Then you get a couple of replays of Scott and Dane and then me and Dane. Then Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. I was on that show yesterday. I did guest spot. The first 20 minutes, we talked about 70s disaster movies. Black Sunday.
Nice.
A little bit of Jaws. A little bit of
Never know what stuff. Those guys are talking about.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was We kicked it around a little bit. We talked football in the second segment, but it's fun to, you know, like you said, you never know what you're going to get. So Game Time Decisions goes till 6, and then at 6 o'clock, it goes over to Lineup Lock Live, and then Scout Fantasy Sports with Adam Ronis is 7-8, and then Freestyle?
Freestyle, you can see live on YouTube at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then the radio version gets played at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
There you go.
10 o'clock Eastern time. But it is when Scout Fantasy is live on the radio network, Fantasy Freestyle will be live on YouTube.
There you go. Go watch Dane.
By the way, I have a member of the Air Force who's part of my Stats Over Beat Cypher Skyping in today from a quote-unquote undisclosed location.
Jeez.
No better way to combine Veterans Day and Thanksgiving than speaking to an active service member who's part of my Stats Over Beat Cypher who is literally Skyping in. He cannot tell me his location, but I know it is 7 hours ahead of New York time. So think about the part of the world he's likely in.
Yeah. I can think about that, and I wouldn't want to be there necessarily, but appreciate his service.
Absolutely. Obviously. It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it.
So, all right. As far as guys that are getting dropped, you can drop Ryan Fitzpatrick like a bad habit. I made the mistake of playing him in a league. I survived my huge mistake. I played him over Andrew Luck, I made a huge mistake there. But the numbers going in led to Fitzpatrick. And by the way, that game went over. The game played out exactly the way I thought it was going to. In fact, the only thing I'm mad about at my picks the other day is I was really certain that that game would go over Giants Bucks, but I was already in on a survivor pick and the Giants -2.
Giants.
I didn't think I.
You didn't want to shove everything to the middle of the table on the G-men.
I probably should have, but I actually felt better about that over than I did the one that I picked. But that's I picked what I picked, so I got to live with it. So. So there you go. Fitz, have they made an official announcement yet? We can assume that Jameis is just going
to
be back.
No, they have. They are going back to Jameis. Dirk Cutter did come out and say that yesterday. They're going back to Jameis. And by the way, Blewett, the Bucks have home for San Francisco this week. The West Coast team traveling east for the 1 o'clock start. It is a tasty matchup for Jameis. And the only other part I would say of this, if you add Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick's fantasy points totals together, you get QB3 in fantasy.
Yeah, but the problem is that two of those games were partial games. Like, Fitz came in the middle of one to save Jameis, and Jameis came in the other day. So what did those two games start out at? Like, Fitzpatrick picked up 8 points the other day, mainly because he rushed that touchdown in. Remember the Jameis game where he got benched? I can't imagine that he got 10 points out of it. So, yes, on the whole, if you had the foresight to see a benching and you played those guys, then, yeah, they'd be QB3. But a couple of those games, you would have gotten squashed like I did the other day. I happened to win. I should have lost because of that.
I take it more to mean that whoever is starting for Tampa is a viable quarterback start.
We have to agree with that. It's just that we've seen a couple of duds because they turn the ball over so much. What are they doing? I know Fitz doesn't care, but God, it's unbelievable the rate at which they turn the ball over.
Turning it to waivers.
Yes.
Turning it to waivers because, listen, in Superflex League, in two quarterback leagues, it's entirely possible that you have Patty Mahomes and Marcus Mariota. It's entirely possible that you have Jared Goff and Alex Smith right now, or Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So if that's the case, and you are SOL right now, you're lucky that three quarterbacks came on the radar last week. So let me ask you this. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson if he starts, Jameis Winston, or Colt McCoy?
Just based on what we were talking about, it's got to be Jameis. I mean, Alex Smith wasn't even a good start at this point of the season.
Right.
I saw...
You don't like the safe floor of Lamar's rushing potential?
I think that helps, yeah. So I probably like him more than Colt McCoy. But Washington is not a team that's going to win by keeping up with people.
They're not
solid,
dynamic, shall we say.
They're playing solid D. And, like, you know, I saw it a little back and forth between Michael Salfino and Emery Hunt, our guy. They're both writing for The Athletic, and they were just going back and forth on Twitter about the viability of the Reds of Washington's offense, mainly in terms of Adrian Peterson and how passing offenses attached to Adrian Peterson have always been, I'd say, suboptimal, to just use a soft term about it. But a lot of times they've been in the tank. I think it's stretching to say that it's his fault, but perhaps sometimes those passing offenses are forcing the ball to Adrian Peterson and preventing the quarterbacks from throwing the ball a whole bunch. So the reality is I'm not bullish on the Washington offense before or after the injury. And I would have to rank it Jameis, Lamar Jackson, and Colt McCoy. Not to say he won't have a good game or two, but do you feel like he's going to outperform Alex Smith? Do you feel that way?
Colt McCoy?
Yeah.
Colt McCoy?
Yeah.
I think that Colt McCoy is between the 35th and 40th best quarterback on the planet. I think that's why he gets paid to be maintained in this kind of exact role. And I think that Colt McCoy and the difference between Colt McCoy and Alex Smith will not be a lot at all.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm counting quarterback, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, not at Alex Smith yet, 21, 22, he was 23rd. He was 23rd. Yeah. So I think it's what you're looking at. Could Colt McCoy be top 20? Sure. I'll root for him, but I'm saying barely into the top 20. It means he's got to beat out Wentz and Carr and Manning the rest of the way. Clearly, Wentz didn't play in a bunch of games. I'm not doing the average per game right now. I'm just doing the total, but I don't expect a lot out of it. I think Lamar gives you a safe floor. I think he could have a couple of absolute – well, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if he stays in the rest of the year, but I think Lamar could have a brilliant game, and people are like, he's the – second coming of Pat Mahomes. Or you're going to be like, is this guy seriously a starting quarterback? I think he's going to have a couple of games like that where it just looks awful. So I don't think he's
And Jameis can turn the ball over six times. So why not Colt McCoy?
Jameis will.
Not McCoy is the safest option?
Because there's no upside there. There's almost no upside. I mean, Alex Smith is better than Colt McCoy. That offense, it just lost a couple of offensive linemen. Trent Williams may be coming back. But they played without three offensive linemen. All the skill players are hurt. Now the quarterback got hurt. And I just don't see this turning around offensively for them. It doesn't mean that they're going to go winless.
Give me Jameis against San Francisco this week.
That's what I'm saying. Jameis, I'm out on all three, thankfully. I don't have those problems right now. But I'm cutting Fitzpatrick happily today and playing Andrew Luck for the rest of the year. I've been messing around with Carson Wentz and Andrew Luck, and now Fitz and Andrew Luck, and I'm done. I stupidly started Fitz 2 weeks in a row, and Luck outscored him both times. So it didn't cost me either game. I'm still in playoff position, so there we go. All right, other popular transaction trends. Obviously, we talked about Josh Reynolds earlier. If he was not picked up in your leagues, go out and get Josh Reynolds. There's a lot of defenses moving around because we got no Rams D this week. Did you and I pick up an extra defense for that? We're going to have to do that this week.
We did last week. We did. We took the Washington football team.
That's right. We did. That's right. Nice job. I wanted the Titans, and that would have been terrible. They picked up a zero, but nice job, Washington, there. And I'll take them this week against Dallas. I don't know that's going to be a stellar performance, but you know, I'm not afraid of Dak Prescott.
It's better than a bye.
Throwing a couple of turnovers. That's right. Well, we'll see. I don't think we can get negative points in that league. So actually, we can, because the Jets got a negative for me last week in a similarly scored league. So beyond that, you know, people are just moving around kickers and Gus Edwards, I guess, from Baltimore. Do you see anything there? He came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Gus Edwards, I don't, because it's so tied to how that offense looks, if it's Flacco or Lamar. Peyton Barber, 60% owned. You may want to replace Kerryon Johnson in a one-week way with LeGarrette Blount. Josh Adams is still available for Philly in about 60% of leagues. So those are some running backs. Real quick, a ton of rookie wide receivers are below 40%, Lewis, that you can go. Traquan Smith, DJ Moore, Kiki Kuti, Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, all five rookie wide receivers viable on the waiver ads.
I agree. Which guy would you want most of that?
Traquan, give me as many parts of the Saints offense as possible.
I think it's fair, but DJ Moore is looking really good. So, everybody that doesn't hear me before Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Dane.
Happy Thanksgiving, Blewett.